Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
This is the age of change and mobility and instability. We live fast and furious and frustrating lives sometimes. Things and people and events cry out for our attention, time, and our talent. Many have lost the purpose, really, for life and have no guide by which to live and to base their life as they go through this life. Pessimism, it seems, is the order of the day. Many have no joy, no peace of mind, no hope, and in this life or in the life to come. I feel for people like that. And it simply points out to me that we need a guide by which to base our life. Everybody needs to guide, a guide by which to live. Everybody needs some kind of foundation, some kind of a pathway to follow. There are many summary statements in the Bible which I think are very tersive and very terse and very important to us. And there's one passage that I asked Brother Bogle to read this morning, or found in that section of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that I want to share with you some thoughts from this morning. The writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We want to talk about that passage this morning as a guide by which to live, a foundation on which to base our lives, a principle which will help us to govern in the light of the cross, the Christian life. Notice first of all that he says, trust in the Lord. When we talk about trust, we're talking about faith. We're talking about putting our confidence in. We're talking about taking God at His Word. I once saw a little cartoon where a fellow was hanging over a cliff, you know, and hanging on with this little limb, you know, over the edge of this cliff. And he hollered out and said, "Please, somebody up there, help me, help me." And a big voice says, "Let go of the limb and I'll take care of you." And the fellow said, "Who is that?" And the voice came back, "God." The fellow hung on for a minute and paused and says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Now, that's about the way we think about it, God, sometimes when we're just not willing to let go of the limb and let God do His will in our life and let us do His will, you see. We're not willing to really trust Him and to take Him at His word. We must trust. Trust not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15 to set apart Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is within you. Jesus Christ is our Lord now. He is our only Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord which we are to follow and to whom we are to submit our wills. We must trust in Him, not ourselves and not anyone else or anything else. But we must place our confidence in, we must put our reliance upon, we must take God at His Word. Take the Lord Jesus Christ in specific at His Word. Notice that He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When we think about the heart in the Bible, we're talking about the intellectual seat and the real being of a person. We're not talking about just the physical pump. We're talking about that aspect of man which intellectually reasons and emotionally feels and humbly or submissively gives himself in submission to God or something else. So when we talk about intellectually, we're talking about that part of man which thinks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 27 and verse 3, or 23 and verse 7. And also as we feel, the Lord said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And we're to hate sin with all of the heart. That's an emotion. It's a response of the will, yes, but it's also an emotion. And then also we are to be submissive to the Lord's will. And that involves the heart. We're to humble ourselves before God and surrender our wills to His will with all of our heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Don't leave off the intellectual and respond emotionally. Don't leave off or respond intellectually, leave off the will. Don't respond with the emotions and leave off the intellect and the will both, but rather all three aspects of man's being. Your being, intellectually, by the reason. Emotionally, with the heart, you see. Love Him. Hate sin and love God. And then also to respond with the will. Humble ourselves before God and obey Him. Now, that's what it takes. We're to trust in the Lord with all of the heart and not leave out part of it, you see, or hold back part of it, but trust in the Lord with all of the heart. Now, notice that he says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And what he's saying basically is this. Without God, really, life has no meaning. If you take God out of your life, if you take God out of the picture of your life, It really has no purpose. We talked about this morning three questions that men ask. Where'd I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going to go? And that's three real soul-searching questions. God has the answer. Without God, there is no answer. Not really. We have man's ideas and theories and everything, but there's no real answer. Without God in your life, it has no purpose nor meaning. When life's greatest questions and problems come, one soon becomes aware that his own ability doesn't have the answer. He becomes aware of his own inability, as it were, and his own weaknesses to handle those problems by himself. He reaches out and says, why? And he doesn't know why. But God gives us basis and foundation on which to live and handle those problems, and to give us, at least to some extent, the only answer that man has to rely on. To trust in oneself alone soon produces worry, anxiety, despair, helplessness, and hopelessness. If you base your life on your own selfish, self-centered ability and your own power to handle it all, my friends, you're going to come up worried and anxious and discouraged and despondent and despair. And you're going to come up helpless and hopeless when life's great problems come. And so the answer is to trust in the Lord, not our own understanding. Why? Because with Christians, you see, God provides the answer. With the case of the Christian, we do not have to have these anxious, worried, despondent, despairing feelings and thoughts, because God gives us the answer. Look at such passages, for instance, as Romans 8 and 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer, of course, the question is a rhetorical type of question. Nobody can really be against us. There might be people who will be against us, but what difference does it make? Of what significance is it? None. If God be for us, who is the master and the ruler of the universe and controls all things, if He be for us, what difference does anything else matter? Or anybody else matter, really? If they're opposed to us, we stand because God stands. And we shall stand because God shall stand. And when we look at James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. The promise is when we approach God, He approaches us. When we turn our back on Him, He doesn't turn His back on us. He longs for us to come home. He stands with waiting arms. But when we turn our back on Him, we turn away from Him. But when we turn our face toward Him and when we draw close to Him, He draws closer to us. That's the promise that God gives. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast your anxieties on Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that great? And Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is, the necessities of life. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, and nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus. You see, we must trust in God. We must trust in God because He loves us. Can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And Paul's answer is absolutely not. Romans 8, verse 35 through the end of the chapter. And He cares for us, as we mentioned in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And Matthew chapter 6 very plainly teaches that He does. That He will forgive and that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we do make mistakes. He will work out all things for our good if we're called according to His purpose, Romans 8 and 28. The psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse 5 and another place, in this particular place, David says it, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Listen to that again. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Now notice the next verse. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. To acknowledge Him simply means to look to God and His will in all things. To recognize that God is present, that God has a will, and that that will has certain things that I ought to do and ought not to do. About every aspect of my life, I need to acknowledge God's presence, acknowledge God's will, acknowledge God's power, acknowledge God's love. I need to acknowledge God in every way, in every aspect. And I put it this way, it means simply to keep God in the picture of my life. I never do anything, nor should I do anything, or not do anything, without first considering the fact that God is present. And God's will has something with regard to my life. Young people need to learn this early. You don't fool God. You may think you can, but you can't. And so we need to acknowledge His presence, acknowledge His ways, acknowledge His will, acknowledge Him in every aspect of life. And there are two different ones that I want to share with you, and I really think they encompass all of it. First of all, there is the circumstances of life. I need to keep God in the picture of my life with regard to circumstances, the situations of life. For instance, when time of prosperity comes, the Bible has God's will with regard to how I'm to handle my prosperity. I'm not to be high and haughty and think that everything is going to go my way simply because I'm going to do it. I must keep God in the picture, and the picture, I think, in James chapter 4, verse 13. Where he says, say not that I'm going to go into this city and buy and sell and get gain for a year, but rather say, if the Lord's will, I shall do this or do that. And what he's saying simply is this, keep God in the picture. Don't let God out of the picture. Keep Him there. Keep His will there. And consult His will in whatever I may do. A man is called a fool for not keeping God in the picture in Luke 12 and verse 15. He prospered well, had great barns, built great big barns to hold all of his crops, and then he sat back and sat down in his rocking chair and folded his arms and said, now, soul, take thine ease. You got it, mate. And God said, thou fool, tonight shall thy soul be required of thee. Now whose thing shall these things be? The man was not wrong because he prospered. He was not wrong because he built bigger barns. He was wrong because he left God out of the picture. In every circumstance, in prosperity, in times of poverty, we need to remember Hebrews 13 and verse 5. God will not forsake us, neither will He fail us. So with good courage we can say, the Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? What shall men do unto me? In times of prosperity, we must trust in the Lord. Knowing in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, while Paul was in prison, he knew and he said, I have learned whatever state I am, that therein to be content. If it's prosperity, I'm content there. If it's poverty, I'm content there. If it's freedom, I'm content there. If it's imprisonment, I'm content there. I've learned the secret. What is the secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He kept Jesus Christ in the picture. In times of prosperity, in times of poverty, in times of health, we need to use our health to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, says Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 23. In times of illness, we need to trust in the Lord that even when we're moaning with pain on the inside, when we're crying out with agony from the inside, we need to remember that God promises that His Spirit even utters those groanings which we ourselves cannot utter. That's the promise of God. We need to keep God in the picture even when we're sick. And that the sufferings of this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory of the life which is to come. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. In times of freedom from danger, in times of danger, in times of popularity, in times of hatred, no matter what the circumstances may be, we are to keep God in the picture of our circumstantial situation, our life. And then also, there is the relationship. We do acknowledge God in the relationships that we have with others. The relationship, for instance, of husband and wife. If people would go back to what Jesus Christ has given as revealed in the New Testament, we would not have the divorce rate we had today. We would not have the problems of broken marriages and broken homes that we have today. We would not have the problems of anxiety and hatred and animosity and bitterness and all kinds of improper attitudes and feelings in a marriage relationship. We wouldn't have them. Because you see, if we love one another as the Bible teaches, if the husband loved his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife loved her husband as she ought to love him, and reverence him, and honor him, and they worked together as husband and wife, each doing their own individual responsibilities, then God would bless that union, and they would have what they ought to have. But the problem is, we get crossways with one another, and neither one are willing to give in at all, and we go our separate ways. hard-headedness, rebellion, and hatred toward people that we ought to have submission to, a willingness of spirit, and love. In every relationship, we need to acknowledge God. As a father and mother, we're to train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, setting the proper example and influence for them. But many fathers and mothers do not set the proper influence and example. They do not care whether they leave a proper influence or example, and really that's the most important thing you can do for your child. It'll let them see Christ in you, not tell him about him, but let them see him in you. That's what it takes. As a son or daughter, we're to honor our mother and father, for this is right, and this is well-pleasing to the Lord, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 and verse 20. And I urge children to begin now, if you're not doing so, to honor your mother and father. Even though they may not be living the way they ought to live, you honor them by living the way you ought to live. You honor the Father, the spiritual Father, the heavenly Father, by doing so. As a neighbor, we need to follow the instructions of God. We need to keep God in the picture in our dealings with one another. In a community relationship, we need to be dealing with one another in businesses and whatever it may be. In whatever relationship we have with other people, we ought to be looking at the Lord's will. I can't cheat my fellow neighbor. I can't cheat the person who comes into my store. I can't treat that man that way because I'm a Christian, because I keep God in the picture. We need to live with one another in every relationship, acknowledging Him. As a Christian to brethren. Brethren, we need to love one another. We're going to make mistakes. But why is it that we always, it amazes me how we always have to take things wrong. Have we forgotten that the Bible teaches that we ought not to judge one another? Judge improper motives and assume that just because I don't like what's been done, that it was done because of me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get my, boy, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to get even with him. Now, brother, where do you find that in the Scripture? You don't. We ought to love one another. Let's love one another. Let's be concerned and assume the best of one another. Until you're proven, until you prove to me that you're out to get me, I'm not going to assume it. And you ought not to either. Let's love one another. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." What is it? That you have love one toward another. That's what it is. And let's get back to that. Let's get back to the basics. We talk about getting back to the basics. That's it. Let's love one another. And if I love you, I will not judge you. I will not find you guilty of assuming. And I assume that you are out to get me. You're out to hurt me. You're out to do something ugly to me. I don't believe that. That's not what the Bible teaches. And you need to repent and change your attitude, if that's the attitude you have. Let's show appreciation and concern for one another, compassion and understanding and long-suffering and forgiveness of one another. Let's look over one another's mistakes. Who doesn't make them? Anybody want to raise their hand and say they don't make them? No, not hardly. So let's forgive one another and let's appreciate one another what we can do and help one another to do what we can do and be long-suffering to one another and forgiving of one another and go on. Right? Right. Oh, let's acknowledge God in our relationship to one another. How does the Lord want us to treat one another? That's the most important thing. Not how I think I ought to be treated or how I don't like what he said or didn't say or what else, but whether I am doing the Lord's will in my relationship to you. That's the most important thing. And even our enemies. You know, it's sad to say, but I guess some of us have enemies. And sometimes it's not anything we've done. It's not something that we can change. It's not something we can undo. You know, it bothers me to have an enemy. Does it bother you? Does it bother you to know that somebody doesn't like you or somebody just hates your guts, if you'll pardon the expression? And that's exactly what some people do. They have bitterness and malice toward you, and you go to them and you say, "Please, I'm sorry, please forgive me." And they turn their back on you and walk away and say, "Whew, see if I'll ever forgive him." Now listen, I know that hurts, but how are you to treat that person? Are we to turn our back on them and walk away, go see if I do that? No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're to love him like a brother regardless of how he treats us. Not tit for tat. Not blow for blow. Not strike for strike. Not word for word. No. That's not what it teaches. Do you see how much better life can be personally, if we will but acknowledge God in our relationship, even to our enemies? Yes, it will. It will. Heap coals of fire on his head. Not literally. Figuratively. Figuratively. Return good for evil. That's what the Lord taught in Romans 12. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now the results. He will direct thy paths. If you will trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct thy paths. He will guide you. He provides the guidance for you. He helps you through life. He encourages you. He comforts you. He consoles you. He assists you. That's what He promises. I believe that. The problem is we've never tried it. Many of us have never tried it. I urge you to try it. If you like it, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Literally, it means straighten it out. I think I've used this illustration before. The other day, Gloria and I went out to Fall Creek Falls for a couple hours and went up there for lunch and came back to see the leaves and came back through Spencer. And as I drove back down that curvy road, you know, down those cutbacks and everything, I thought about this illustration. God can take a road like that and straighten it out. You know, it's difficult to try that, drive that road, you know. You have to really be careful. But God can take a road like that, and I've seen men take roads like that and straighten them out and make a four-lane highway. I think about going up Mount Eagle. A few years ago, when Gloria and I were stationed down in Brunswick, Georgia, we used to have to come up through Chattanooga all the way up to Illinois. And we had to come up through that, the curvy road and everything that used to be down there. And now that you can drive through it and go right up Mount Eagle, just, you know, four-lane highway all the way. Straighten it out. It's so much easier. I was scared to death to travel on that road at night up through those mountains. But now it's also nice and easy and straight, isn't it? God can take a crooked life and straighten it out. He can take a crooked pathway of your life and straighten it out to make it easier for you. Oh, I wish I could get that across to people. I wish I could convince you of that. I wish I could leave impression on your mind that if you just, you must trust God. You must acknowledge His will. You must live in keeping with it and He'll make it easier for you. Please follow His will. Obey the gospel today. Come back to Him. Come home.